From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
This Wednesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. We'll talk some football today. We'll see where we go from there. Don't really know what's coming up. Depends on my mood, if you want to be frank with today's proceedings here in the next hour or so. So we'll.
It's your wife's birthday and you're in a terrible mood?
It is my wife's birthday.
Well, that's not fair to her.
It's not her related. I went and got donuts for her this morning.
That was nice.
It was. Not many people at the donut place at like 5:50 in the morning.
I would hope not.
You hope not. It's not. You go at 9 a.m. on Saturday. You don't get a lot of selection. You get a lot of selection at 5:50 or 6 on Wednesday morning.
Which donut place did you go to?
Shipley's is the closest donut place to me, so that's where I went.
Gotcha.
At 6 in the morning, you're looking for location as much as anything else, but they're fine. And they have my favorite donut. Everybody else might too, but I know they do. So
right.
I like the chocolate glaze with coconut on top. That is my favorite donut. So
I can't remember the last time I had a donut.
I don't really eat them at all because if I have one, I want 14.
Yeah.
But I just had one. I only bought one for that purpose, and then I had one.
Carson likes the other donut place because they have the kolaches.
Okay.
And I had a kolache once.
Uh-huh.
And it was so good that I then wanted another kolache.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
And I went out and made myself run till I about passed out.
Anyway,
so you're in a terrible mood. It's not because of your wife, and it's not because of the donuts.
I'm not in a very good mood.
I know you're not.
I'm good.
For those people who don't have ESPN 13 at home, sometimes I take the stuff down because I'll watch. Last night I watched an NBA preseason game between the Milwaukee Bucks and the Oklahoma City Thunder. And if I watch it with that up right there, it's in the freaking way. And so I took it down. Also, Carson likes to play FIFA 19 or whatever it is that he plays now in here. And so I took it down so that he wouldn't step on stuff.
Okay.
And so when you came in this morning, I was in the process of kind of getting the quote studio, end quote, ready. And you were like, Where's the board?
Well,
it's gonna be all right. We're gonna get through this. And now I find out you're in a terrible mood.
See, that was partly because usually you put it next to the other soundboard below the entertainment center over here some days. And I looked down there on the floor, and it was not in that location. So then,
on the bookcase.
It was on the bookcase
on the middle shelf. Usually,
yeah, I was
just where it was.
I was just getting organized, starting the day.
No, it's all good. I mean, I wasn't offended. My feelings were not hurt. It takes more than that to hurt my feelings.
You're the only one, obviously, but yes, that's... anyway.
You were almost kind of aggressive, if I'm honest. You were...
Whatever the word is, I was a small amount of aggressive to you there, weren't I? Yes.
Exactly.
All right. Anyway.
I'm now trolling my friend here, so I apologize. And none of you are in on the joke, and that's not fair, and I apologize. You'll probably know later.
Head on over to the Oxford Exxon. Bring me a beer. Bring me a daiquiri. Bring me something. They have multiple flavors. You can take care of that and save some money in the process. There's no reason you shouldn't save money when you do that. Sign up for the Exxon Mobil Rewards. First 30 days, you save a ton of money. Get a lot of points for filling up. Also, the SpeedPass Plus app. And much more next week when you're in town for Auburn and that 11 a.m. kickoff that's glorious to everyone. Tailgate, use them for that as well. Quart size sides, 3 slaps, $33 of ribs.
You know, there's worse things to open your Saturday with than a 9 o'clock daiquiri. There are worse ways to open a Saturday morning than
a daiquiri. Is the daiquiri an acceptable, socially acceptable thing at 9 a.m.?
On a football Saturday, I think so, yes.
Football Saturday or water within view?
Football Saturday, water within view, or Mardi Gras.
Okay, fair enough. Mardi Gras, there are no rules. It's fine.
Right.
But daiquiri probably falls under there. Daiquiri, Bloody Mary, mimosa, coffee cocktails.
Hmm. because mimosas or Bloody Marys.
All right, before we get down the road, let's go Clark Ford, and then we'll get down the road.
Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Wait until you are done consuming the aforementioned beverages, and then call
Corey. Don't put the straw in the daiquiri when you're in the car.
Right,
that's the goal.
For the love of God, don't put the straw in the daiquiri. Unless you're in Louisiana, at which point you can put the straw in the daiquiri, and I don't think anybody really cares.
It's a little more live and let live there.
A little bit more, yeah. Different world. 662-257-1900. Call Corey. Tell him what you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. That quote's going to be right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. It's just going to be your quote. You can do with it as you please. You can take it and start shopping if you'd like. All over, it's cool. It's your business. Or you can go ahead and take my word for it and the word of a lot of your fellow listeners who have purchased from Clark Ford. It's going to be the best deal you get. It's going to be right to the bottom line. It's a hassle-free car buying experience like you've never experienced before, and it doesn't stop at the purchase. You get great service after the sale. Corey wants to be your car guy. He wants to be your truck guy. He'll prove it to you. Just purchase from him and go from there. You'll be shocked. We'll make it even better. Tell him that you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast, and you'll save $500 off the bottom line from your deal at Clark Ford. Again, the number is 662-257-1900.
Also, back at Funky's this Thursday, 5:30 start time for that one. Isaac Gross will be
Big
in attendance.
Big Gross.
He will be in attendance with us. So come hang out. Talk to him.
You didn't respond to me on Twitter. Can I ask him the Big Gross question?
If you'd like to. You want to? That's his Twitter name, Big Gross 94.
I know. I saw that and I laughed because when I saw it.
Might have been self-titled, I mean.
It could have. And that might have inspired a nickname that
it
day.
It did. Yeah. So Isaac Gross with us on Thursday.
We'll on the field, middle of practice.
We'll relive. We'll recount. We'll do whatever we're doing. So nonetheless. All right. Go ahead. So what do you think? We got coffee cocktails. We got mimosas. We got Bloody Marys.
Okay. So holidays. It's funny, I've never thought, and I don't know why, I've never thought to have a daiquiri on like Christmas Eve morning or Christmas morning.
Because typically daiquiris are warm weather cocktails.
That's true.
I mean, I drink daiquiris a good bit in the summer, but I won't have them during the winter, really. I've got to be in a real weird mood for that.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's rum.
And I'm not a Bloody Mary person, but
see, I hate them.
I do too, because I don't like that thick tomatoey stuff. That's not my thing. And then when everybody starts putting like a whole salami and stuff in there, I don't get it. I mean, it's like what are we doing at this point? You know what I mean? It's a slice of pepperoni pizza in the middle of your drink.
I said this when I made fun of them that day on the 5 most overrated cocktails. I said at some point you've just got a shrimp dish. I mean, like, come on, what are we? Yeah. It's, like, I heard Gabe DeArmond's recipe on The Greatest Pod in the South. He missed it because you weren't on the show the other day. You probably haven't gone back and listened. And his was very palatable. It was just like some pepper and some lemon juice and some vodka and some tomato juice and some Worcestershire. And, okay, you got your cocktail. We didn't need cucumber and olives and shrimp and crab and bisque and the whole deal. So, it's all good.
Drop a taco down in there and just see what happens. Yeah. Hey, you want a little chalupa in your Bloody Mary? Why not? I don't like them much, but I love, and you make fun of me, I don't care. I really don't care. I'm not even the least bit offended if you make fun of me for this. I love mimosa.
I do too.
Love it.
I order one every time I go to brunch anywhere. That's what I'm having. It's not brunch if I don't have a mimosa.
A mimosa, and you float just a little bit of Grand Marnier or Triple Sec, whatever you have.
Oh, you want that little Cointreau addition. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It changes things.
Now, I love it without it.
Okay.
But with it, it's just fantastic. Just a little, not a big shot of it or anything. Just a little on the top.
Okay.
Love it. Make a pitcher of mimosas, pour it in, and then just put just a little. Cointreau or Grand Marnier is preferable.
But you can make do with other
I can
things.
Make do with just that Bowles Triple Sec. Absolutely. Just a little.
Yeah. And it kind of depends.
And then I put a slice of pepperoni pizza in it, and I'm kidding. No, I don't.
Yeah. That and coffee cocktails, I'm all in. Those are.
Yeah, I love
it. You got to be careful in the coffee cocktail because they can get real fattening and really 1,000 calories quickly if you're not careful. But
well, I'm not a big Bailey's Irish Cream guy. I like it fine, but that's not what I prefer.
Probably why you like the chicory liqueur, in all honesty. I mean, no ad or anything. It's stronger and it's less sweet. It's more just, hey, a little something there.
And it's fantastic in coffee.
Uh-huh. Because it's got a little bite to it. It's we're drinking. We're not having dessert. We're drinking.
And I love Kahlua. I mean, to prove to you this isn't an ad. I mean, I'm sure that's who Cathead is competing against with the.
It's on the same shelf, yeah.
With the chicory liqueur. I love Kahlua. It's fantastic.
Yeah, you put it on ice cream and stuff.
Oh yeah.
You can make a sundae now. You can get busy on the sundae.
I can make a sundae that. I'm ready to compete with anybody in that regard. And I don't do it often at all because I'm such a psychopath. But yeah. I mean, there frankly are few things better than just vanilla ice cream and some Kahlua.
Okay. I don't know that I've ever had just that combination together.
Really good.
Okay.
Throw a few chocolate chips on there. Fantastic.
Okay.
Am I making your mood better yet? I mean, because I'm trying to do it in a very passive way.
I'm fine. I'm good.
Okay.
I'm lovely.
I want you to cheer up. I want you to be happy.
I'm fine.
It's Kara's birthday. You need to be in a good mood. It's not fair.
We went to a fundraiser last night, and I was sitting there, and I was kind of bored, and I my phone kept buzzing, and like with every text message, I was just getting a little more pissed off, and a little more pissed off, and a little more pissed off, and finally, I'm just like, oh, can we get out of here? Can I go home? Can I stop? And then I wake up this morning, and I got more text messages. I'm even more pissed off. So it just kind of.
Well, if you shared those text messages with her, you probably helped kind of bring her mood down some as well.
I could have evened this thing out. You would think,
but you didn't. You let her just have a good time. Let her be happy.
No, she walks out of the house and goes, please, God, don't say anything today. And I'm like, well, I can't promise that, but I'll do my best. You know.
And you immediately tell me, and I troll you. Yes. Sorry, Kara. It's in the end, like everything, it's my fault.
In all honesty, I do this only a couple times a year, really. But thanks for everybody for continuing to listen, because today is climate, if you will, around everything. Most of the donors are pissed off. Most of the young people are apathetic. Appreciate it, because it'd be very easily to tune out a lot right now, and our numbers have remained very stable, so we're all in this together, I guess.
Yes,
and we march onward, so that's...
I love you all.
I did Arkansas radio this morning. Why is it when radio stations do this, they promote you on social media, and they look for the picture where you look like you have the most chins possible to... They find the most unflattering photo of you to put on Twitter when they say, hey, so-and-so's coming up next. Richard and Matt used to do this too. It used to drive me nuts. And like Arkansas this morning grabbed one where I got like 14 chins and like shot from under from like 3 or 4 years ago. It's driving me nuts. It's bothering me. Everything's bothering me this morning, but I'm adding that to the list. So
in other words, your chance of having a lot of Tinder success in Fort Smith is kind of limited.
I mean, that might still be upper half for Arkansas at times. Who knows? So, I mean, you know. Just saying.
If you live down on the coast, Florida Panhandle and stuff, we're thinking about you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been there and done that, and when those things start having a 4 attached to them, they are scarier
than
hell.
That's where it gets. The people were more than nice, whatever the show was this morning. They all run together. I don't know the stations half the time, but they give me an interesting stat. They ask a question about, does Ole Miss find it to be an advantage to play in Little Rock instead of Fayetteville? And I said, well, yeah, because Ole Miss has only won like once or twice in Fayetteville since Arkansas joined the league. They haven't had a lot of success there at all. And that's true. They won last in 08, and then they beat them when Eli was there, I believe, as well. And that might be the only 2 wins for Ole Miss in Fayetteville.
Okay.
I'll look that up in a second. But Ole Miss all-time in Little Rock, 7-7-1.
Really?
500. Right down the board. 15 games, 7 wins, 7 losses, and a tie.
I've seen Ole Miss win there twice, I guess.
I've only seen 12. I really don't remember the one before that, but I don't was the Chris Mitchell hit in Oxford, or was that an Arkansas game?
It was in Little Rock.
It wasn't. Okay. Mm-hmm. There you go. So, yeah, 7-7 on that one.
That's getting back into the 50s and 60s and stuff, I'm assuming.
Well, it would have to be because they only joined the league in 92, so right. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot of information there, but I just found it interesting nonetheless.
It is interesting.
Because, yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it here. Ole Miss wins on the road. 2012, Little Rock, 30-27. That was a Bryson Rhodes thing we're talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
08, Fayetteville, 23-21, the Houston Nutt game we always talk about.
Yeah.
2000, Ole Miss in Fayetteville, 38-24. That's actually Romero Miller's senior year. Little Rock in 92, Little Rock in 90, Jackson in 91, part of four in a row for Ole Miss during that. And then they played a bunch in, they put a couple in New Orleans back in the day.
Played Sugar Bowl back in New Orleans.
Oh, I guess that's probably what I'm looking at, honestly. Sorry. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Fayetteville, two wins all time.
This is interesting because that's not an intimidating place to play.
Ole Miss does not play well there.
Yeah.
A lot of weird games over there.
We've gotten their ass kicked there a couple of times.
Yeah.
That Bo Wallace getting hurt game was ugly.
Jeremiah Masoli trying to pull one out with a bad team in a lightning storm in 2010 over there.
He almost did it.
Dude should have won the Heisman.
He was
if a 4-8 quarterback could win the Heisman, Jeremiah Masoli should have won the Heisman.
He took a 1-11 team, put it on its back, and made it 4-8 and almost 5-4.
That's like when one of Drew Brees' most celebrated seasons was that year. He goes 7-9 with the Saints, and it was like they literally had the worst defense in NFL history. 7-9 was an accomplishment.
Yeah.
I mean, that team could have been 1-15 in a hurry, were it not for Drew Brees.
It's a baseball stat. Someone said, and I read it, someone was a reputable source. I can't remember exactly. I wish I could find it. If the Mets had scored three or more runs in every Jacob deGrom start this year.
I saw this.
He would have been a 31-game winner.
Just three runs.
Three runs!
That's insane.
Think about that for a minute. I mean, let the mind slow down and think about that for a minute. If the Mets, not or more, three runs in every start, he wins 31 games. That's mind. When you stop and slow down and think about that, it begins to boggle the brain. We won 31 games. Not 21, 31.
I complimented the host a minute ago because they never said we or your or anything on the show. Arkansas. They were very professional.
Are you sure it was an Arkansas show?
Yeah, it was Arkansas. Okay. I don't know if it was Little Rock or Fayetteville, but it was Arkansas.
Okay.
Josh Neighbors was the guy's name.
Not good for him.
No, he's great. He's fine. They were good. We had a pleasant conversation for 12 minutes. However, now because I'm stuck in a Twitter thing, the fan base, I guess the show's continued. They're talking about something else, obviously. I'm getting all these mentions with Arkansas fans complaining that the TV people were too complimentary of Alabama last weekend now. So I'm getting that over and over and over again in my Twitter mentions now.
Yeah, I got to get a pet peeve off my chest for a minute.
This is your Crimson Tide roots coming out from all your parents' degrees and things.
Look, I get that people are tired of it, that everybody has Alabama fatigue. I get it. I've got it. We've all got it. They're historically good. They don't lose. They blow out everyone they play in the pregame. What the hell are the announcers supposed to say? And I'm defending a handful of announcers who I know personally and don't like some of them.
Well, and you and I, for some reason, watched separately a good bit of that game. I thought they actually complimented Arkansas pretty well considering how Arkansas was playing offensively.
Arkansas lost the game by 5 touchdowns, and they spent the majority of the second half complimenting Arkansas.
Saying Chad Morris got something working a little bit right now.
And he did, and he does, and it was obvious. The announcers were devastated when Story fumbled at the 1-yard line. They thought, oh, my God, we're actually going to have a meaningful second quarter.
Yeah.
Can you imagine getting the Alabama assignment this week where you know there's a decent chance that it's 35-0 at the end of a quarter? And you're like, man, I got 2.5 hours left to kill. They don't let us just go, hey, well, we're done.
You got to start telling. You basically have to become Vin Scully out there, which is...
You've got to do deep background when you're doing Alabama games because the game might not be enough to entertain. You've got to have all... You've got to really research. As opposed to if you get Texas-Oklahoma last week, you know, hey, man, we're getting a fourth quarter game. The game's going to carry this broadcast.
Yeah.
You get Alabama, Arkansas, you know, there's a decent chance, man. You're getting – there's a chance. You've got to prepare for 63-7. I don't know what people want people to say about Alabama. They're the best team in the country. It's not close. They have the best player in the country, and it's not close. They have more offensive weapons than I've ever seen them have. Their defense is okay.
It's good
given
enough.
How good their offense is, their defense could not show up and they'd still win.
It's maybe my favorite stat for them is they're through six games, their punter's still eligible for a red shirt.
Yeah, he literally has not played in some of the games.
Yeah. He's eligible for a red shirt that went through the season. So anyway, you know, I tell you though, sometimes doing radio is really good for kind of gauging the temperature of the other team that you're covering.
Sure.
They're kind of all in, and if nothing more, just because of the recent success against Ole Miss, I thought it was interesting. They've kind of got a light at the end of the tunnel, kind of an optimism about this game that basically that Ole Miss has going the other way too. That's what makes this game fascinating is there are not a lot of games during the season when you really get down to it where both teams have kind of the same confidence level. And I feel like going into this one, it sort of is. You've got Ole Miss, the far better record, the better overall players, some warts, Arkansas warts, Arkansas 1-5.
Sure.
Arkansas a little better from a matchup standpoint on one side of the ball, no doubt, because of the way they can attack the middle of the field against Ole Miss.
Sure.
It's a fascinating game because, I mean, going in, both teams, I mean, huge red circles around this one going, this is it, this is the one.
Yeah, I've been saying that for a while. If you're Ole Miss, you circle this game and go, this is one we can get. This is one we should get.
Yeah, done.
And if you're Arkansas, you circle it and you go, hey, we always beat them. Because to these kids, what's it been, 4 years in a row?
13 was their last, Ole Miss's last
14, win. 15, 16, 17. Yes, it'd be five in a row if they were to win. For these kids, that's all they remember, guys. They don't remember the 1960 Sugar Bowl or whatever. They did, whatever. Hell, they can't remember 2 years ago.
Yeah, Ole Miss won in 12 and 13, and then they've lost four in a row.
Yeah, so if you're a freshman at Arkansas, you were a ninth grader, basically. You don't remember that. Yeah, Arkansas has a circle too. And they've got a new coach, new staff, and he's kind of made some decisions, and they've begun to sort of plug away. And he's done the really smart thing that a lot of people won't do. He's done that smart thing where he tells the fans, hey, it might be a little while, but we're getting there. And then he tells the team, just keep chopping the tree. That's their thing. Just keep hitting it. Don't give up. You don't think it's moving, but it is. Keep hitting it. And they've done it, and they lost at Colorado State. Probably a few guys were like, hey, man, can we check the axe? Because I don't think this is a very good axe. And then they got beat by North Texas, and some people were like, man, I don't know. I think that tree's made of something that's not – I don't think it's choppable. And then he made the call on Story, and they got beat at Auburn. But it, like, to Wally Hall's defense, they weren't the better team, and Wally's crazy about that. But they did some good things. And then they did a lot of good things against Texas A&M and Dallas. And they did a lot of good things against the best college, the best team they're going to see all year. So if you're Chad Morris after that game, what are you telling your kids? Hey.
Give me that effort.
Yeah. We're not going to see another team like that. And they're not. It's a true thing. And the kids go, yeah, it's true. We're not. You give me that effort next week, we can do this. So they're optimistic. What's Ole Miss saying? All right, we maybe feel like we fixed some things on defense. That's what Momo Sanogo said yesterday. We feel like we fixed some things. The question was, you know, do you feel like you had your most complete game? Well, yeah. And someone said, well, why is that? Well, a lot of it's because you played ULM, for God's sake. But that's the difference. To me, there's one little funny intangible is that in back of both teams' minds, there are still question marks. You know, I mean, if you're playing for Arkansas, you're like, yeah, we did some good things, and yeah, they were really good, but we did get blown out. And if you're Ole Miss, in the back of your mind, you're like, yeah, you know, we did look better, but the team we played was a really crappy team. Really bad. I mean, ULM would go 0 and whatever in the SEC. They would not beat any SEC team. They wouldn't stay on the field with an SEC team. So, I don't know. Fascinating. It's a, psychologically, it's an interesting game because I think both teams are going to Little Rock believing they're going to win.
Yeah. We'll move on in 1 second. First, podcast brought to you in part by Oxford Wine and Spirits, located on College Hill Road next to Lost Pizza. Go in, check the ever-expanding bourbon selection, pick up some Cathead products, get things for that Bloody Mary before you throw the shrimp and the sandwich in it, and much more there at Oxford Wine and Spirits. Again, 5% below industry standards with the prices as is, and you spend $150. You mentioned the podcast, 5% off wine or 10% off liquor for you guys. Again, next to Lost Pizza on College Hill Road. That's Oxford Wine and Spirits.
God willing, I'll be in Little Rock on Saturday night. And if I'm there, I will write a column afterwards. And that column and this podcast are sponsored by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust is based in Madison, Mississippi, but it represents clients in 24 states and has advisors in 3 states. Founded in 1997, Pinnacle Trust provides detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. At Pinnacle Trust, investing is treated like a commodity, and decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. Regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle Trust will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan. I was down in Madison the day before the LSU game. They showed me a couple of these plans. It is so detailed. I was blown away. You owe it to yourself to get in touch with them and find out what they could do for you. Cookie cutter financial planners put you in a box. Pinnacle Trust builds a box around you. It's as simple as that. To learn more about Pinnacle Trust, go to pintrust.com. That's pinntrust.com. Mention that you heard about Pinnacle Trust on this podcast, and you'll get 10% off your first year's fee. My mailbag is up on rebelgrove.com. Rebelgrove.com, part of the Rivals Network. I encourage you to take that to your browser, give it a shot. I think you'll like it. It's not very expensive. The mailbag is sponsored by the Westin Jackson. You can restore serenity to your soul at the Westin Jackson by visiting Soul Spa. It's the ultimate luxury spa experience in downtown Jackson. Indulge in personalized massages, signature facials, soothing body treatments, and much more on their extensive spa list. Escape from the everyday and rejuvenate yourself in their luxury spa today, and then go down to Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro right there in the Westin Jackson. You can get a creative craft cocktail or enjoy their curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and Sunday brunch. Chef Caden's mission is to connect guests with the community through local partnerships, so gather at Estelle today.
Also, go ahead and check out G&M Pharmacy on South Lamar in Oxford. They've completely remodeled. They have delivery throughout the Oxford area, and they're located, again, right there on South Lamar to take care of all your pharmaceutical needs. Or you can check out TysonDrugs.com to see all the different available products and make it easy on you as they deliver anywhere you are. So, yeah, I see in the mailbag, did you call Houston Nutt a pile of feces in the mailbag?
No.
It's kind of what you did, honestly.
I simply asked a question. The question was about who would I rather spend the day with, Houston Nutt or the character from Jeffrey Show. What's it called?
South Park.
The Christmas poo. And I just asked because I was having a hard time distinguishing between the two. I said, what's the difference?
That's it.
No labels.
Yeah, small label. It's kind of aggressive, if you ask me.
But just kind of aggressive.
Kind of aggressive.
I mean, not
super. Microscopically aggressive.
Yeah, not macro aggressive.
No.
At all.
So, how was Matt Corral yesterday? How was everybody's favorite backup quarterback?
Oh, God. Well, he did well in his interview. He was congratulated afterwards.
Was he?
He was. Okay. Was told, good job.
He's only done 400, so it's fine.
But that one was especially good, apparently.
Okay.
Deserved a pat on the back and a congratulations and a kudos.
Okay.
God, I'm being a jerk. He was good. I mean, he's done thousands of interviews. He can stand there and do another one. I asked him the question, because there's this debate that's raging in certain circles about whether he should redshirt or not. And I said, do you want a redshirt, assuming that Jordan stays healthy and you're not forced into action for the final five or six games of the season? Do you want to redshirt? And he said, yes, it's a win-win for everyone. It's best for Jordan. Jordan stays healthy. And it's best for him. He saves a year of eligibility. You don't want to give a year of eligibility away.
Those are precious commodities.
Yes. There's five of them. And if you throw one away, it's gone forever. You don't get it back. So there you have it. So my source on, yes, Ole Miss would prefer to redshirt Matt Corral is Matt Corral.
That's basically what Phil Longo has said weekly for every week of the season to this point.
And yet some people just keep digging.
My favorite was 2 weeks ago when Phil looks and goes, Jordan Tomu is the quarterback. Jordan Tomu is going to play quarterback. As long as he's healthy, Jordan Tomu is our quarterback.
But do you think you ought to get him in some, just a few series, a little bit here? Because he does some things better. No!
Jordan Tomu is our quarterback.
Sometimes you have to have, as the guy running the program, a micro view and a macro view. You got to have a big picture. In the big picture, whether Phil Longo is still here or not, in the big picture, the potential of, so it would be 19, 20, 21, 22, the potential of Matt Corral as a fifth-year senior in 2022 is far more valuable than what he might be able to give you as a part-time player in 2018. And that is the way you have to look at it. It would be one thing if in 2018 right now you were 6-0 and he was emerging as the better quarterback and you were competing for a championship. You're not. Is there a decent chance from what we've seen that he's going to end up being a better quarterback than Jordan Tomu? Yes. Is he the better quarterback today? I guess it's conceivable, but if he is, it's by margins. And so the risk-reward is not good. Is there a chance that Matt Corral blows up and is long gone by 2022? Yeah, but if that's the case, he was a great quarterback and you probably benefited from it. And then you pat him on the back and you say, good job. And he'll be used to getting told, good job, and patted on the back by then, so it won't be, that won't even be shocking. Won't even shock his system a little bit. He'll be so used to being told good job. That
we used to have the starting quarterback come in on Mondays with the head coach.
And he would stand at the podium
yeah.
and then leave, so he never really got a chance to get patted on the back and told good job.
Yeah. The coordinator coming in changed that dynamic.
Right.
Switched it up a little bit.
I guess it's conceivable that down the road someone like Corral would be to the point where he came in on a certain day each week.
That was Bo and Chad, both.
Yeah. Bo was pretty funny on some of those.
Didn't want to be there, but always showed up.
Every showed up every time.
Chad showed up in suits. It was some of my favorite parts. He looked like a Miami Vice character some weeks. Yeah. It's fine.
He'd be like, dude, that suit's too big.
It was too big.
It's too big. I get what you're trying to do. And then there'd be weeks where he'd show up in like a track suit and you're like, he decided to ditch the suit. He's had enough yeah. of the suit.
Oh, Bo was always kind of fun. I like
both of those guys. I were like fun, Bo. Man. Both of those guys were great. Bo Wallace was one of the most fun people we've ever covered.
Because
sometimes he'd look at you with his eyes, then the eyes would tell you everything that he wanted to say.
He was a good eye talker. He and Laramie were two really, really good eye talkers. This time in the past. Because nobody can convey the why in the hell are you asking me that better than Laramie Tunzel.
Yeah, yeah.
Just look at you with his eyes and go, come
on. Bo's pretty good at it.
Yeah.
Come on, man. You know the answer to that. You know I can't answer that. You know going is good try. And after the Michael Casagrande thing with Bo.
That was it.
He was done. He's checked out. He did kind of warm back up to the handful of us that
local media.
The handful of local media that he liked.
We did give him a trophy one year.
Yeah, we did.
In all honesty, seriously, we gave him a trophy
one year. We legitimately gave him a trophy, which is...
It was a thank you.
We would have all taken him out for beers. We liked him so much. But
yeah, that's not okay. That was, I don't
that's
think
that's not allowed. So
we I guess it. When they finish their eligibility, technically it would be.
I would buy Bo Wallace a beer. He was a total pro.
Yeah.
Total pro.
That's gone by the wayside. That was a Hugh Kellenberger thing, I think. We did a couple years of trophies for who we appreciated the most out of the team from a media standpoint.
I think the winner right now would be – who would the winner be? Who would the winner be today? All right, who's being the mix? The candidates would be
– it's always the quarterback.
Jordan Tamu would be a candidate. DeMarcus Lodge would be a candidate. Fantastic. Momo Sanogo would be a candidate. He's really good. Gives good answers, gives detailed answers, doesn't just do coach speak. We haven't gotten much of AJ this year. He's a very good interview.
AJ's usually pretty good, but yeah, we haven't gotten him a ton.
Sean Rawlings would be really good.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like we're missing somebody.
Well, I'm sure we are. Because there for a while we were getting Coatney all the time. We haven't really got him. Kadir Shepherd's pretty good at times. Actually getting some pretty good stuff out of Kadir. Yeah, I don't know.
We've gotten Scotty Phillips a few times, and he does not want to tell us anything.
Scotty not a big not big on the talking.
Scotty sat in the back with Crash Davis and learned his cliches.
Back of the bus.
Back of the bus. One day at a time.
Good. I think Corral's going to want to talk as time goes
on. Oh, yeah, he does. He wants to talk.
He'll be fine.
He'll do well.
I think he'll come just camp out at the podium. Hey, go ahead.
I mean, I'm sure they'll try to lasso him, if you will.
You can tell what kids answered so many questions in recruiting to where it's, hey, let's have a conversation. It's I love friendly it.
Well, he's not ready for interviews yet. He has done 1,000 interviews if he's done one.
That's the best Shea Patterson thing ever. Well, you know, he need to let him play in the game first before he talks to anyone. It's like, dude.
Dude, he's been doing interviews since he was in the 7th grade. Just tell us the truth. We don't want him to talk yet. That's it. Just be honest. It's all good. And then Hugh Freeze stood in the room.
Oh, he did.
He stood in the room for that first interview. So what do you think we're going to ask him? Ole Miss literally believed, not Kyle Campbell and them. Nope. So for anybody who thinks I'm talking about the current SIDs, I'm talking about Hugh Freeze. Hugh Freeze literally did not give us Laramie Tunsil to speak to. Laramie Tunsil, who's a great interview.
Yeah.
And in today's age, when everyone pulls out a video, Laramie is fantastic on video.
What, the day after the as soon as the clock hit zero in the Sugar Bowl, I've told the story, Laramie's standing there because they said, hey, look, the field's open. You can go talk to anybody that's not going to be up on the podium for an MVP thing immediately, and then we'll get everybody else in the locker room. So as soon as the game's winding down, clock 1 minute, 59, 58, I just go to the sidelines and stand right on Laramie's left shoulder. He kind of looks down and laughs. He goes, what? And I'm going, I need the clock to hit zero.
Yeah.
He goes, all right, whatever. And we're both kind of counting it down and looking at each other. And it hits zero, and he immediately turns. And he's like, all right, what? And so I start asking a question, and somebody from the staff comes over to grab him and pull him away. And like, hey, Laramie, no, no, no. And Laramie took a hand out and kind of pushed that person away and go, no, I got it. It's fine.
Yeah.
And stayed and did the interview. It was fantastic.
Jeffrey and I did the interview with him on the field on video, and I think it was Tom Luke came to get him, and Laramie was like, no, 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 I'm good. Anyway, on Shea, we didn't get to talk to him because I think Hugh Freeze actually believed that local media were going to say, so Laramie, did Ole Miss pay you? Which in hindsight would have been pretty good training.
I think it was Longo when he was hired. One of my favorite Freeze media moments is he was going up behind media telling them what questions to ask or trying to get quotes on record with Longo.
And I was in such a bad mood that day, and he did it to me.
Is that what it was?
Yes,
is it Longo?
It was Longo.
Yeah, he stayed in the room.
Longo was on a speaker.
Yeah, we were all around the podium at the conference thing.
We did Longo and McGriff on the same day, and neither one of them were in town.
Yeah.
And so we did it on a big speaker teleconference thing. And Freeze stays in the room and is telling people questions to ask. Yeah, no. Bad. Bad, bad, bad.
That was good. Who else y'all get yesterday?
John Summerall, who impresses me so much every time. I have no idea what kind of a football coach he is. I'm assuming by reputation that he's very good. He's fantastic with media.
Was there a message?
For whatever reason, I don't. This is not meant as being aggressive to my fellow beat writers. I don't know why we're always talking about the past game on Tuesday. Chase, they played ULM. The only way we should be talking about ULM on the Tuesday after the ULM game is if they lose to ULM.
Well, a lot of times it's the same questions to the same people that were asked on Saturday.
I don't understand it. What did you feel like you did well on Tuesday? Well, holy shit, y'all, they played ULM. They missed fewer tackles. They did some things well.
They scored 70 points.
Can we look ahead to the next game? Can we talk big picture for a moment? Is that allowed? So I asked him about Arkansas appears to be getting better on offense. Is that what it looks like to you on film? Which is my way of saying, I watch it on television. I don't go back and watch film. I'm not sure what the hell I'm looking at. I did notice that they were moving the ball on Alabama, and his answer was, yeah, they are really coming along. You can tell they're buying in, blah, blah, blah. And he talked about how, and I could feel almost everyone's eye roll at the time, that their pre-snap discipline is going to be critical, that they get lined up properly.
I thought that was interesting. Is it so much more about identification and knowing where to go in a second versus, oh, wow, they're doing something different once the ball snapped?
Yeah, and he said Arkansas uses motion 50% of the time.
A lot of window dressing.
Yeah, a lot of trying to confuse you. And it works. He said they confused Alabama some. Alabama got lost some, and Alabama's defense is good.
It's a much more rudimentary version of what Sean Payton's so good at with the Saints, of moving people all over the place and disguising a formation when really he's just running the same play, just running a second.
Well, you know, it really is. It's the shell game.
Yeah.
You know, you put the ball under one shell.
Yeah.
And it stays under that shell. But you move all the other shells and all that stuff, and your eyes get lost.
And you're still just running a power.
And it's like, where's the ball? Oh, well, it's coming right at me.
Yeah.
It's still under shell two. Yeah. Been under shell two the whole time, but we distracted you with shell one.
Yeah.
Look, you're watching shell one right now, and there goes shell two, 22 yards.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of that. I thought it was I like Summerall. I like watching him coach. I like listening to him talk. I think he's very smart. And he's a football guy, meaning, you know, he played, and he's hard-nosed and all that stuff, but he doesn't bring a lot of that stuff to the interview room. And he doesn't talk down to us because we didn't play.
Can just have a conversation.
Yeah, you can ask a question, get an answer. Yeah, he'll explain it to you a little bit. There's almost some teaching going on, which I always appreciate, frankly. Don't do the talk down to me thing. I mean, that I can't stand that. Because then when you turn around and you criticize something I write, I always want to go, well, show me some of your writing samples. I'm curious. I'd like to. I've done that before. That did not go well.
Probably not handled.
No, it was a blow up.
Was it?
Yeah. How can you question what I called? You know, I didn't. They said something I wrote, and I said, "Can I see some of your writing samples? Because if I can't criticize your work, then you can't criticize mine. And I bet you I write better than you."
Well, that's different, though.
I mean, I know you coach better than me, and I'll acknowledge it, but I bet you money, any amount of money you want to bet, that I'm a better writer than you. I'll sit down and do it right now. A writing contest today, I'm in. And it's, well, you know, you're an asshole. Well, so are you, so we're all good. You coach football, congratulations. That doesn't make you a better human being than me.
What could help your day as a human being, though, is buying tickets for the Wizard of Oz coming to the Ford Center October 21st. We, you know, got the Scarecrow and the Lion and Dorothy and the whole bunch coming to the Ford Center October 21st. 2 days later, the Oxford Art Crawl. If you'd like to take advantage of that as well, you got bus tours starting back for 2 p.m. the weekend of home football games. So next week against Auburn, the day before. You can really make a three-day weekend out of it. You can go see Jay Tate. Funky's with us next Thursday. You go take a bus tour on Friday at 2 p.m. And then you got the game against Auburn at 11 a.m. that morning. The Nutcracker coming to Oxford as well, to the Ford Center. The Holiday Market. All sorts of stuff coming your way. And you can see that full list at visitoxfordms.com/events.
And if you need to get away further than Oxford, get in touch with John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. Been thinking about that golf trip with the guys that you'll never forget, or maybe an anniversary trip that she'll never forget. whether you've dreamed of playing St. Andrews or sitting at a cafe in Paris, both sound actually pretty good to me. Talk to John Edwards before you try to do it yourself. Why use John? Well, he's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows John to supply his clients with added values and unique benefits that are simply not available to other travelers. John traveled the globe for 37 years before getting into the travel business. He knows the extra attention that is needed to make a special trip one that creates a lifetime of unique memories. So if you're thinking about going with the boys to Pebble Beach or taking her to Napa for the vacation of her dreams, call John. Give him some parameters and a budget and let him give you some options. And know this, you don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. It's really simple. Just call his number, 901-494-3387, or send him an email at jedwardsregencytravel.net. Again, all you have to do, give him some parameters. What are you looking to do? And what's your budget? Let him give you some options. No harm. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But what if it does? First-time clients can save $50 off the first book trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, you owe it to yourself to go to Grenada Nissan. It's just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissans. Great lease deals as well. Go in. The service is fantastic. Tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast. They'll take care of you. They've taken care of me and my family for more than the past 10 years. We love doing business with them. You will too. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And the podcast brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. HarryAlexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you are looking for, and then send him an email. It's ha@HarryAlexander.com.
You predicted this would be an interesting answer, and I have to agree it was. You were asking the mailbag yesterday, if a genie told you could change one day in Ole Miss athletic history or whatever it was, it's interesting. You picked basketball 2013.
Yeah, because I believe if Jarvis Summers makes that shot from the free throw line, Ole Miss goes to the Final Four.
You think they just take the place of Wichita State the rest of the way?
And I think it would have been a phenomenal experience to watch Marshall Henderson become a national story. And that team, if you go back and remember, that team lost in Starkville, and I asked the question.
Yeah.
That's the one time I did ask the question. I asked the question that got everybody all worked up. I was right, by the way. Anyway, after that, they beat Alabama at home, went to LSU and played great and won.
That's right.
Went to Nashville, had the Millinghouse floater that got them past Missouri, beat up on Vanderbilt, and beat a damn good Billy Donovan-coached Florida team. Then they went to Kansas City, and they beat up on a really good Wisconsin team that had a couple of NBA players.
They did.
If they beat LaSalle, not only do they go to L.A. in a winnable bracket, they go red hot. Red hot.
So Jarvis Summers.
Jarvis Summers makes a 15-footer, and I'm telling you, it's a different deal. How does it change? I don't know.
What's your football one if we pick sports?
Well, because I love the playoff idea. I hate the 14 playoff, and I'm an 18 playoff
guy. So 4th and 25.
4th and 25 doesn't happen.
Just win that game.
They win that game. They win the SEC, and we get to have this unbelievably awesome debate where everybody's right and everybody's wrong. Because all three teams involved in the debate would have an argument, and all three teams in the debate would have a wart. For example, Alabama would say, we're 11-1. You are. We're one of the best four teams in the country. You absolutely are. You lost at home to Ole Miss.
Yeah. Who's in the conversation?
Ole Miss would say, we're the SEC champs. You are.
We beat Alabama.
You did. You also got your ass kicked in Memphis.
And lost to Florida.
But the Memphis one would be what got them. Because they would have avenged the Florida loss.
Yeah, that's true. They beat them. They beat that team to death. In the SEC
wart would have been Memphis, and it would have been just this giant. It would have been
just a boil right there.
It would have been this beautiful girl. spectacular with the perfect body and everything, but she's got this thing on her forehead. It's right there. It's, and you can't, you want to look other places and I think Ole Miss and Ohio State would have said, we went 11-1. You didn't win the Big Ten. And they would have said, there's SEC bias. Can't prove it. Would have been fascinating. It would have led to an 18.
So playoff. It wouldn't have been like the Cindy Crawford trademark mole that's right there on the.
No.
It's
like a thing on the cheekbone. On an otherwise gorgeous woman who can sing and everything. I mean, she goes up there for the talent. She sounds like Lady Gaga. But there's that thing on her. Can we not call Dr. Pimple Popper and get rid of that? And the answer is no. It's right there. You have to learn to live it. You have to learn to love that.
4th and 25.
Those are my two things.
Okay.
4th and 25 is more because I'm an 18 playoff guy. And it would have led to an 18 playoff.
Baseball is such a simple one. You give them 0-5, let Stephen Head hit the ball over the wall because it does multiple things. That team probably wins the national title. Texas is out, and Texas killed everyone in the College World Series. That team wins the national title in 0-5, changes all the angst in multiple ways. Gives Mike a title. And from the very beginning, you remove that stigma of home games and stress and everything else. Yeah. They've been to Omaha. So next year against Miami, they're probably in a better mood. Like they go to Omaha 2 or 3 more times after that if you win the first one.
Evan Button probably makes a perfect throw to first.
Yeah.
They probably beat Tennessee Tech. They probably go to Omaha 4 times, 5 times. Yeah.
Stephen Head hits one ball off Jay Brent Cox over the wall in 2005.
Look at the Red Sox.
It's a Mr. Destiny moment right there if you do it from the very beginning.
Yeah, here's what won't not be
that crowd when it gets in the 8th inning goes, ah, we'll figure this out.
It's all good. And if you don't win it, it didn't work out.
Yeah.
Didn't work out. It's like LSU when they got upset by like
Stony Brook.
They gave them a standing ovation.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah.
It kind of sucks for us, but you know, it's great for them. Isn't that cool? Look at that, Mary. Isn't that awesome? Look at those boys. They're so excited.
We'll be back next year. Hey, there's a trophy over there.
All right. We'll be back next year. And then they typically are. Yeah, absolutely. No, in baseball, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, because you could go, 0-9, no. 5. It changes the whole trajectory.
He hits a 3-run home run right there, and you dogpile.
They win 7-6, and you move on with your day.
You go to Omaha, and you win the national title, and then it's a totally different trajectory.
Yeah.
And it just shows you sports are fickle.
Sports are fickle.
Fickle, 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 fickle. Go back and watch 4th and 25. Slow that thing down and watch it. And there are like 15 chances for that damn thing. Even at the end of that thing where Alex Collins doesn't know where he is. Alex Collins has run 100 yards. He does not know where he is.
But they stopped the two-point conversion later, too. And another penalty on that.
Well, it was the right call.
He
pulled him down by the face mask, and you can't do that. But if he just grabs him by the jersey and pulls him down, the game's over. And 4th and 25 just becomes a cute little anecdote.
Is it Hunter Henry? Was that who threw the ball backwards?
Yeah. He didn't throw it. He's
going down. He gets wrapped up.
Just tosses it up in the air.
Tony Bridges? Who wrapped him up?
I can't remember.
Okay. For some reason, I think it was Bridges.
Could be.
Yeah.
C.J. Johnson misses the ball by literally a fingertip.
If it's just deflected, that's it.
Well, yeah. I mean, if C.J. Johnson puts a finger on it, it probably rolls out of bounds somewhere, bounces back to the
– Yeah.
It doesn't bounce directly to Alex Collins, who was probably the one person –
The one dude that could make the football play.
And even at the end of that play, he had run so far that he didn't know where the hell he was, and he intentionally fumbled the ball because he thought, oh, they got me.
That's right.
Hunter Henry, trailing the ball, said that when he saw Alex go down, he thought, oh, we almost did it.
Yeah.
Turns out they had a first down. They didn't know it. They thought they had to score.
Yeah, because everybody's all whatever. Yeah,
you know, he thought, oh, we almost did it. And if Ole Miss recovers the fumble at the end,
game's over.
You survived it.
It's the craziest play I've ever seen.
Easily.
The one craziest play I've ever seen.
Easily.
Had some real stupid end of game moments over the years, but
that was easily the craziest play I've ever seen in my life.
Les Miles thinking he could line up and snap the ball and spike it with 1 second left was on up there. But You know he ran 27 seconds off the clock between second down and third down?
I know.
Just didn't call timeout.
And then you let the one play happen defensively that you cannot let happen.
They let the dude get behind him.
I mean, you just can't.
Catch the ball.
I mean, it, as a former defensive back in that position, you're taught if he looks like he's going to go by, you tackle him. We'll take the 15-yard penalty. They'll have one play left.
As a former defensive back.
Well, seriously. I mean, you're taught don't get beat there.
All right, we ain't had one this week. What in the world is going on with basketball recruiting? Where's this thing standing right now?
Well,
it's all anybody wants to talk about, so what's going on?
We're all waiting on DJ Jeffries.
Okay. Who's left?
Depends on who you believe.
Okay.
My guess is that the only people left are Ole Miss and State.
You think Penny moved on?
Yeah, I think Penny moved on. I do. Now they could come back, but I don't think the kid wants to go to State. Wants to go to Memphis. I think the "we want Wiseman" chants were not what he wanted to hear. He and Wiseman get along, but they're not like buddies. I talked about this on Memphis Radio yesterday, and I want to be really careful about the way that I do it because I don't want to make an accusation because I have nothing to back up an accusation, so I'm not going to make one. This is not an accusation, okay? But this trial in New York is impacting college basketball right now. A lot of accusations are being made. And if you're running an athletics program that does deals with shoe companies, you're being super careful right now. Or you better be. And you're asking questions on any high-profile kid. What is his relationship to Nike? What is his relationship to Adidas? What is his relationship to Under Armour? What is our relationship with Adidas, with Nike, with Under Armour?
Right.
How much communication have we had with those people about this kid? Who's had that communication? Was it recorded? Did anyone see it?
Tree fall in the woods. Okay, good.
So, I don't know. I'll simply say this. This is not about DJ Jeffries. Okay? I'm not talking about DJ Jeffries. For those of you who are listening in the Golden Triangle area, and we know you're there, thank you for your patronage. This is not about DJ Jeffries. A lot of kids, basketball kids, in football you have late bloomers.
Yeah,
in basketball you really don't. Kid's been 6'8", 6'10", for a while now. He's played AAU ball for a while now. He's built relationships with shoe companies for a while now. Because the way the shoe company thing works for the people out there, I know you know this, Chase, but so I'm not talking to you, but it's a general. Nike. Nike attaches itself to top AAU kids around the country. And you say, well, why would they do that? Why would they want to pay a high school kid to wear their shoes? Well, it's not because he's a high school kid. It's because of what he might be. And so if you lasso in 100 high school kids to wear your shoes, and 4 of them turn out to be the next Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kawhi Leonard, Russell Westbrook.
And this is really just sporting goods in general. I mean, you look at golfers when they're 15 years old.
Yeah.
Nike just sends them a bunch of clubs and clothes and stuff. They're not doing that because they're 15. They're doing that because they're going to get massive deals and become PGA Tour members.
Yeah, it's not because little kids are watching 15-year-olds going, I got to have that. It's because, hey, what if he turns out to be the next Tiger?
Yeah.
And you know that if you send it to 100 kids, 95 of them are going to end up just being wasted stuff.
But 5.
But what if you land one?
You just need one big fish.
One Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
One Steph Curry.
Yeah.
One James Harden.
Yeah.
We paid himself off because
yeah.
They're kids all over the country. all over the world who wear Under Armour shoes because of Steph Curry. Don't kid yourself. I live in a house with a little boy that wears shoes because that's the shoe Russell Westbrook wears. That's the only reason he wears that shoe. You think he's the only little boy that's that way? No, sir. So that's why they do it. I think that should be legal. I think it should absolutely be legal. I think it's stupid that kids cannot, at 16, get paid to wear a shoe. The NCAA, as of today, disagrees. And this is the problem. The NCAA is almost going to be compelled to investigate some of this stuff. And so if you're recruiting a kid who has connections to shoe companies, and just about everybody does, you got to be super careful right now.
They certainly do.
And is that impacting DJ Jeffries? I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm not talking about DJ Jeffries. Bring on the accusations from Starkville. I'm not talking about DJ Jeffries. But high-profile kids that are being recruited right now, schools are having to ask questions.
Lock in your rate with Community Mortgage. They're in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. They get all underwriting and processing done in Memphis. They're getting local underwriting and understand your market. They're leader in condo financing in Oxford. And as I mentioned, the float-down option, because if the rates go up, you've already locked in your rate. But if rates go down, you get that lower rate. 662-234-2704 or JLO, J-L-O-W-E at communitymtg.com.
Fresh off a thrilling victory over the LSU Tigers, the Ole Miss volleyball team takes on the Missouri Tigers Friday night at 6:30. As always, admission is free at the Gillum Center. The Ole Miss soccer team returns home on Sunday as they take on Arkansas, 2 p.m. For more information, visit olemisssports.com. The Ole Miss football team returns to the Vault on October the 20th as they take on the Auburn Tigers. Tickets can be purchased by visiting olemisstix.com. And Square Jam returns for 2018. Join the Ole Miss Hoops teams for a night on the square on October the 19th at 6:15 p.m. For more information, visit olemisssports.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with a personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with the live person, all without having to press 10 buttons, without a 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000 and refund ATM fees nationwide. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. And the podcast is brought to you by Megan Phillips with LAH Real Estate. She's the person to call for all your real estate needs in the Birmingham area. With almost a decade of experience, Megan's knowledge and expertise can help you buy or sell your home today. Visit her site, MeganMPhillips.com. That's MEAGANMPhillips.com. Or call Megan at 205-602-7929. Again, 205-602-7929.
So Ole Miss, very familiar when things like this happens, is from Dixie with Love, has been gone from the stadium for a number of years now. The AL.com column staff, Joseph Goodman to be exact, pushing for Alabama to return Dixieland Delight to its fourth quarter music selections at Bryant-Denny Stadium. That song, the Alabama hit that I've heard many times in Tuscaloosa over the years, has been gone for the last 3 years due to students adding words to the end of verses, as people are very aware of. So,
yes.
Anyway, there's a big push there, apparently, maybe. I haven't heard this. I don't remember.
So let me get this straight. They're saying the kids won't do the chant anymore because they will do the chant.
You think so?
No, I don't think it. I'm willing to bet you any amount of money you would like to bet.
I'm in a mood today, and I'm probably being psychotic. I actually think Ole Miss students would mostly chill if you brought back from Dixie with Love. After this long and as much push as there has been to get it back, part of me says they would chill or replace it with something else.
Well, there won't be any – shut up, Neil. Stop. This season, there's no one there at the end of the game. So
you wouldn't be able to hear the chant anyway,
it would be the
right?
Tree in the forest.
I do, though. I think they would stop.
Do you really?
I think you could replace it with something else. Like, I don't know what, but something. I mean, even like replace it with to heck with LSU or something. I don't know, but just something that stays with the beat and does whatever. They could. They could stop. Now, look, they're especially with today's climate, they're not doing it. They're not running the risk of letting that phrase get anywhere near anything right now. But I do.
You talk about some people getting triggered.
Well, more triggered.
Yeah, further triggered.
Further, yeah. I don't know. And it sucks. I mean, you take out that verse, and that was one of the better parts of Ole Miss's stadium experience. It was. I mean, sure. I'm not a big song person, but okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Alabama, I'm a little surprised, frankly, they took it away that quickly. And you show you that they're winning so much that it's just kind of been an afterthought. They don't really give a crap. But there is a small segment here. Now, also what's happening is the guy in Bessemer is probably really pissed off about it still. And Joseph Goodman knows that the guy in Bessemer is going to share that bad boy on Twitter and social media and be really pumped up when he sees this column this morning.
But, what did they chant? Do we know the exact words?
Yeah, I have it. You want it?
Yeah.
You're talking about Alabama, right?
Yeah. I know what they chanted at Ole Miss. I'm aware.
All right. Spend my dollar on beer. Parked in a holler neath the mountain moonlight, Roll Tide, really offensive. Hold her up tight against the wall.
Make a little lovin'.
All night,
that's not bad.
A little turtle dovin' on a Mason-Dixon night, expletive Auburn.
Okay.
Somehow that went there, I don't really know why, but sure, why not? Fits my life, and LSU, oh so right, and Tennessee too, my Dixieland delight. That's it. Really, you take out the one expletive on Auburn and probably the against the wall given the climate today. They're close to okay, right?
There's nothing wrong with that. It's just a college football game. No one at Auburn is offended by that. They say the same thing about Alabama. It's fine.
Well, no, I think their argument was people in the Alabama attend crowd would be hurt and upset
for the love
and offended.
Of God. Do you really believe your kid's not hearing that word at school? My kid hears that word every time the Cubs play the Cardinals.
I mean, LSU still play a neck occasionally here, guys, and we got a whole other deal there.
Look, you're talking to somebody who just doesn't get offended. But that's not offensive. Even the up against the wall part is not offensive. It's just not. It's not.
Well, they killed it.
God forbid that you let the kids just have some fun. It's a song. I mean, are we really offended by all night?
The call to kill Dixieland Delight was made when Bill Battle was the school's athletic director. Back in 2014, when everyone started getting offended by everything, people started complaining. What a disgrace, Alabama. Have you no class? Where's the Grey Poupon for my halftime hot dog? And you know who won when Alabama took away Dixieland Delight? Auburn, LSU, and Tennessee. Alabama lost. There was hope among fans that Alabama's new athletic director, Greg Byrne, would bring back the song. He hasn't said yes or no, but his hollow corporate rhetoric about protecting the innocent ears of children hasn't been an encouraging sign. Greg, if you want to be a living legend among Alabama fans, you know what to do. If you want to keep students in the stands until the fourth quarter, it's an easy call. Current and former Alabama players have been outspoken about wanting to bring it back. Look, it shouldn't be this complicated, people. If you don't want your kids to hear the song, then just cover their ears. Earmuffs, kids, as Vince Vaughn would say in the movie Old School, earmuffs. Vaughn to Luke Wilson in that famous scene, you're focusing on all the wrong sort of details here. Did you or did you not have a good time at the party? That's all that should matter here. Stop being lame. No one cares about Mr. Brightside. It's a great song, sure, but who really cares about some band from Las Vegas singing about infidelity? Bring it back. The time is right. Oh, so right. Dixieland Delight.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I agree with every word.
Didn't know we were going to end the show today with some Joseph Goodman love from AL.com, but here we are. So,
because he and I typically don't see eye to eye on much of anything.
No, he's psychotic half the time with his stuff. But
he's right.
Yeah, I'm good here.
He's right. I mean, and I hate to tell you, break it there, but Auburn, LSU, and Tennessee are not offended by that. It's funny. It's just college football.
Yeah.
That's why people go, boy, it's serious. No, it's not. It's really not. It's not serious. It's just not. It's supposed to be fun. It is technically supposed to be fun. God forbid you let the kids sing the silly song. No one's offended by that. And if you're offended by that, you really need to get introspective for a minute and ask yourself, why am I offended by this?
And most of the time, the answer is I'm offended by everything.
And the answer is, well, everything offends me. I'm one of the people that is out searching for reparative justice. And if you want to spend your life searching for reparative justice, then bully for you. Go for it. I'll tell you what I tell my kids. You didn't do anything wrong. Live. And if you're telling your kids that they're responsible for something that happened 200 years ago, that's on you as a parent. Because they're not. And if that offends any of the 100 and whatever people that signed the silly petition a couple of days ago, guess what? I don't care what you think of me, because I can almost assure you that I would not like you. I don't want to hang out with you. You don't want to hang out with me. And here's the good part with me. I don't care. That's good. Awesome. I'm not a threat to you. I'm not going to hurt you. And I'm not interested in whether I offend you or not, because if that offends you, then you're offended by everything. Literally, the only thing that's even quasi-questionable is the up against the wall.
Yeah, all good there.
And that's really not questionable if you think about it.
I actually have to give, as we close, rebelgrove.com a pretty good bit of credit. It was spurred from the podcast yesterday. There's a thread that's like 4 pages long, and 99% of the posts are thought out and respectful of one another. So for a message board, bully for all of you. I'm impressed. So
it's one of the reasons on the board, and I know you agree with this too. I'm speaking for you to some degree as well. I don't like to delete all of the political posts. Because sometimes the political posts, sometimes they delve into name calling and we kick them off. But sometimes they end up being thoughtful exchanges of ideas.
Actually, some worthwhile commentary at times.
And quite frankly, one of the things that's missing in our society today is the exchange of ideas. If you lean one way, you can go to media outlets that will do nothing but validate your opinion.
Well, that's part of the reason for the climate today, is that a lot of people, they do nothing but constantly surround themselves with ideas that fit whatever they think anyway. There is no exchanging of ideas from any side other than what they already feel like they believe. So, anyway, rebelgrove.com, mailbag up, plenty more coming. Matt Luke will speak tonight. You'll see that video and much more. Isaac Gross tomorrow night at Funky's. We'll speak to him. And we'll hopefully have you there to join us, drinking pizza specials, and much more. Talk to you tomorrow.